I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Yes.
This week, I would like to begin with a brief excerpt from David Copperfield by Charles Dickens.
Hey, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's get this Dickens.
Do you know?
Get your Dickens wet.
No. None of this. No, thank you, sir.
Wish you were alive to hear this.
He is in our hearts.
Hear that, Dickens?
From Chapter 2. I have an impression on my mind which I cannot distinguish from actual remembrance, of the touch of Peggotty's forefinger as she used to hold it out to me, and of its being roughened by needlework, like a pocket nutmeg grater.
Hey, quick question, what the fuck?
That question is in my notes, yes.
There's like at least 3 absurdities to unpack. So, what the fuck?
As you have so well enunciated, this raises a vital question.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What in the actual heck is a pocket nutmeg grater?
That's a great.
It's a great question.
And yet, least among the questions I have. Somehow.
Too bad, because it's the only one I bothered to answer.
Now, there we go. All right, let's get into that then. I'm guessing because that's the only one it's possible to answer. Because all the other questions are, what's wrong with Charles Dickens?
I mean, that is a long, long, long answer, yeah, yeah. But...
So let's talk about pocket nutmeg graters, which is not a thing I've ever heard of before.
A pocket nutmeg grater is a box, large enough to contain one nutmeg, and small enough to fit in a pocket.
I'm learning a lot today because it actually just occurred to me that a nutmeg is like a measure of, like, a unit.
It's the nut.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, mostly everyone else, I just picture nutmeg in my head as powder. So hearing a nutmeg is like, whoa, just one, huh?
These pocket nutmeg graters were carried by gentlemen, especially in the UK, in the 17th and 18th centuries through the mid-19th century.
Why?
They consist of a hinged lid, a grating surface, and storage space. Now, within those dimensions and within those specifications, there is a lot of variety for decoration shape.
Are most of them nutmeg shaped?
Most of them are box shaped.
That seems like a waste of potential, but okay.
But you also get heart-shaped ones, pear-shaped ones, egg-shaped ones, ones with the outer in a shell, like out of seashell material.
Oh.
Much like Cameo. And yeah. So they can be very beautiful, very ornamental, and yet practical objects.
Yes. Practical. I assume we're getting to that eventually.
We'll be focusing on the pocket nutmeg grater because, one, that's what's specified in the text, and two, dear God, we have to narrow this down somehow.
Yeah, if we did every kind of nut grater, we'd be here for the rest of our lives.
A brief economic history of nutmeg.
Oh, fantastic.
What am nutmeg?
It's a meg of nut.
Yes. It is a spice and therefore must flow.
I thought you didn't like Dune.
Oh no, I despise it. But I figure if I start out by telling all the men listening that I actually do know about Dune already, they'll stop trying to explain it to me unprompted.
Oh, Ken, you know that that's just going to prompt them to explain it harder.
I know. It is most often used today in pumpkin pies, etc.
Yes, I've been known to flirt with it in apple.
Yes.
Confections.
Vital ingredient in lemmas bread.
I've been known to flirt with it on Tinder.
Oh, you.
It's always a spicy conversation.
I'm quitting the podcast.
Aw, come on.
What does nutmeg taste like?
That's a really weird question to ask.
Freshly grated, it is delicate and velvety.
Okay.
Stale ground, it is harsh and menthol-esque, which is probably why I hate it.
I've literally never experienced that, but okay.
That is the only flavor I experience when nutmeg happens.
That's strange. I would never have thought to describe it in that fashion.
It's like boring cinnamon.
Right, okay.
It's also mildly hallucinogenic.
Hey, yeah?
About 2 tablespoons of it will make you feel like you have a 2-day hangover and or like you're being encased in mud, according to AntiqueTrader.com. So they're the ones who are telling you to do drugs, not me.
So look forward to my next apple crumble and take a wild guess at exactly how much nutmeg it will contain.
Right, but one person would have to eat the entire apple crumble.
I
realize
have faith in
that's the thing.
Someone we know.
Having just said that, I realize I could absolutely destroy an entire apple crumble in a single sitting. So maybe I should think before I speak.
and think before you eat my apple crumble in its entirety.
Never. It also has supposed medicinal properties.
Supposed, meaning it doesn't, but carry on.
Well, in the medieval era, by which I mean the 11th and 12th centuries, it was thought to cure freckles.
Because it looks like freckles. That's my favorite line of medical thought.
Improve eyesight.
That one I can't justify.
Strengthen digestion.
Because it makes you sick.
And protect against the plague.
Well, that was literally everything at a certain point. Once the plague rolled into town, they were really throwing darts at the wall.
But where did Nutmeg come from? Please don't say Dune.
It didn't come from Dune, I know that. Because Dune isn't a place! It's the name of the series. Arrakis is possibly what you're thinking. I'm sorry.
What have I done?
I'm guessing Africa? The continent? Somewhere?
Whole thing. Prior to the 11th century, nutmeg was found only on the Banda Islands near present-day Indonesia.
I was wrong.
It literally grows on trees.
Most spices do, right?
I know, but I'm just imagining an 18th century gentleman being asked for a cup of nutmeg from his neighbor and telling them, what, do you think it grows on trees?
As a matter of fact, I do, sir!
Because it does! But they didn't know that because at some point prior to the 11th century, China establishes nutmeg trading on Banda Islands. And from that point onward, the Chinese nutmeg trade traveled all the way to Venice. And Venice became the nutmeg middleman for all of Europe, with China keeping their actual nutmeg source a closely guarded secret.
Wow. It's good to know that business has always been full of unnecessary layers of bullshit.
So, who knows if nutmeg grows on trees?
Chinese goddamn invented blind BOLs.
They invented NDAs. But then, oh then.
Oh then.
In 1511 or 1512, sources vary, Portugal! Portugal figures out where nutmeg is coming from and establishes their own trade with the Banda Islands.
The Portugal was really good at doing that.
Cutting out China, Venice, and everyone in between.
Welcome to the Mediterranean, bitch. We done simplified your trade route. I love it. One of my favorite tidbits about the Portuguese is that they had established a well-known trade route with India like 200 years before Columbus.
He wanted a different one.
And they're right next to Spain.
He wanted a more different one.
Spain was just like, I realized that literally 4 feet to my left they've done this. But I wish to throw my money and fleet away on doing it a more different way.
They wanted to find a way around you guys. They were sick of dealing with Portugal for everything, and they were like, fine, we'll find our own trade route to India.
Well, I'm so sorry that we invented bread and hard candy.
Didn't fucking invent bread!
Didn't invent hard candy. Possibly.
So, the Portuguese are now the ones setting the price for nutmeg. Half a kilogram will cost you 3 sheep and or 1 cow.
That's a steep price. I don't know what half a kilogram looks like, though. That's probably a lot, actually, when I think about cocaine.
I can tell you it weighs less than a sheep.
Yes, that's true.
Like pound for pound.
Yeah, pound for pound, you're gonna get way more sheep out of a sheep than nutmeg.
That's science.
Out of a sheep. That's just, didn't your peepaw ever tell you that one?
Science doesn't care about your feelings. Then, in the 1600s, the Dutch.
The Dutch.
Invade Portuguese outposts in Banta Islands and establish a nutmeg monopoly.
Bastards gave us blonde children.
And for the next 200 years, the Dutch maintain their monopoly by soaking all of their exported nutmeg in lime juice to sterilize it and prevent it from sprouting.
That makes it sound also like it would taste bad, like lime juice.
You don't like citrus and nutmeg?
I guess.
Think about it.
Hmm.
Now it's zesty.
You know, I guess that, yeah, you could make an argument for it.
And prevents scurvy.
That's true.
Nutmeg remains very expensive.
Were you waiting for me to do the voice?
What voice?
Very expensive.
I have no fucking idea what that voice is or where it came from.
Email us if you know what the fuck that voice is and where it came from.
In the 1760s, the Dutch were charging 85 to 90 shillings for 1 pound of nutmeg in London.
What's a shilling, roughly? Money?
More than it is today.
Oh, okay, good.
The inflation calculator does not go back that far.
Oh, okay. So, like, a lot.
More than most people's annual salary.
Oh!
Of that time.
You didn't make a shilling in a year?
Eh.
Oh, shit.
85 to 90 shillings.
Oh, that's a lot of shillings!
It's many shilling.
That's many shilling. I could buy a lot of nutmeg.
It could buy 1 pound of it. Exactly. And in the 1660s, the first pocket nutmeg graters appear.
Finally.
And throughout the 17th and 18th centuries, nutmeg and nutmeg graters take off.
Nutmeg and nutmeg accessories.
Yes. Because only wealthy people can afford nutmeg. Much like pineapple.
Wait. Oh, wait. Okay. Can I dive ahead real quick?
Uh-huh.
Did they have pocket nutmeg graters just to flex? Like, they show up to a fancy party and they pull a pocket nutmeg grater out of their pocket and they're just like, oh, excuse me, my water, so bland. Some nutmeg, perhaps?
But again, much like pineapple, there's no point in purchasing expensive tropical foodstuffs if none of your neighbors know about it. Unlike pineapple, nutmeg is small, portable, eaten dried rather than fresh, so super easy to store for long-term use, and is only used in very small portions at a time.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Except now I'm disappointed that there weren't, like, pocket pineapple chunk protectors. So you could be at a party and be like, oh, excuse me. And you flip it open and just, like, a single square of pineapple.
What, so you just lick it and put it back in your pocket?
My mouth, so bland, I have to, some pineapple.
So why not keep nutmeg in your pocket to show all your cool new tavern friends?
Hey, why the fuck not?
And why not have a silver case for your nutmeg?
You know what's great is if you did that now, people would think you were a lunatic.
Spoilers for the end of this episode. And why not have a grater built into your silver nutmeg case so you can whip it out and grate it directly into your punch, cider, mulled wine, chocolate, coffee, or hot toddy?
Okay, 2 points.
Uh-huh.
The mulled wine and the hot toddy should already have spices in them.
More spice.
So now you're just being weird.
You can't just assume your host has nutmeg.
I also think it would be pretty rude to be like, I know you spent time, effort, and money on spices to mull this wine, but like, you don't have nutmeg.
Nutmeg, though.
And I brought some nutmeg. My nutmeg.
Is that not the ultimate flex?
I know
you can't afford this, so I brought some.
It's the kind of flex that'd get you kicked out of my mulled wine party.
But what if I offered to share my nutmeg?
Well, then you're invited back in.
Because the next bullet point is, and maybe offer some to a handsome stranger to show off how rich and also generous you are.
Did you just turn nutmeg into something homoerotic?
D?
Or did I turn nutmeg into something homoerotic?
No, it was definitely all me. But yeah, you started a podcast with me, specifically me, the human being, and also on purpose when you knew me and what I was all about. So yeah, nutmeg is now a homoerotic flirting tool.
No, that's great. That's exactly what I was hoping.
Yeah.
I would be disappointed if you were like, no, I met a man and a woman. And I'd be like, aw, well.
It's funny because a lot of blogs mention a man and a woman, except single women don't go to taverns.
They sure don't, for a bunch of good reasons.
Like, it wasn't until the latter part of the 19th century when it became acceptable for women to go to restaurants.
And there you have it.
So, if you are offering your pocket nutmeg to anybody at the coffee house, you're offering it to your very handsome bros.
Nice. Nice. So, maybe fun flirting idea at the bar next time you're there. Put nutmeg in someone's drink and get punched in the mouth.
Spoilers for the end of this episode. What do you think my Friday night plans are?
Yeah, drugging people?
I'm bringing my pocket nutmeg down to the poor farm.
It's gonna be great because the thing is, visually, it's inseparable from the act of furtively putting powder in someone's drink.
Yeah, no, because that's exactly what you're doing.
So you're, like, going to get arrested.
Well, no. See, what I will be doing is taking out a beautiful silver case, flipping it open, showing its contents, and saying, nutmeg, sir?
I hope you trust me that this is, in fact, nutmeg, sir.
I'll put it into my own drink first. I develop an immunity to nutmeg.
I knew. He's gonna say that. He's gonna make a Princess Bride joke.
In conclusion, broke, offering a pinch of snuff. Woke, offering a pinch of nutmeg.
Bespoke, offering a pinch of snuff seasoned with nutmeg.
That is possibly the worst idea we've proposed on this podcast.
I said bespoke. I didn't say for better or worse.
No. But then, the French.
Oh boy. Yeah, what did they ruin this time? Nutmeg? They ruined nutmeg? You guys ruined nutmeg out there?
They established colonies in the so-called East Indies, and they notice that this tropical climate is similar to other tropical climates. They think, hey, maybe we should try growing some spices here.
Wow, that's more critical thinking than the French have done in 200 years.
So between 1769 and 1770, the French smuggle nutmeg out of Dutch territory and start growing it in French territories. The Dutch nutmeg monopoly is broken.
Oh my god.
Nutmeg prices begin to fall.
Probably also the ecosystems of wherever they put that nutmeg.
I mean, you know. They continue falling throughout the 18th and 19th centuries. Until nutmeg is no longer a status symbol and becomes mere spice. Which brings us to 1850.
Does it?
Charles Dickens publishes David Copperfield.
Which some people have considered a great offense.
Which mentions a nutmeg grater.
It does.
A reference that all his readers raised in the late 18th and early 19th century would instantly comprehend.
Would they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a perpetual thing to just go out to the bar and just like five guys offer you nutmeg. And you'd have to be like, sirs, please, one at a time. I can only handle so much spice.
Oh my god, you would just have a fucking nasty drink if you were appropriately handsome. It's like nine dudes nutmegging your beer like, please, please, God, it's like paste now.
Is it... Is it Marilyn Monroe in that film clip where she puts a cigarette to her lip and then, like, instantly nine guys have lighters out?
Yeah, yeah.
Except it's just you at the bar with a cup of mulled wine and, like, instantly nine dudes have their nutmeg graters out.
It's the same, yeah.
It's the exact same thing. Which brings us to today.
All right, here we are. I don't even think about nutmeg most days.
We're about to change that.
Oh, boy.
Because you want a pocket nutmeg grater to impress handsome strangers.
I do.
Or maybe you just want to collect them. We don't judge.
Well, I want to confuse handsome strangers. Can I do that?
Yes.
All right.
So, if we're looking at George III nutmeg grater circa 1809, made in Birmingham by Matthew Linwood, in silver with an outer gadrooned border on cover and base and engraved with initials RA in beautiful scrollwork, what price?
250.
£1,450.
The fuck? Oh, I was just going on... Wow. Hot damn.
Because... they are utilitarian luxury objects.
There it is.
Because they were made beautifully and used every day.
There it is.
Which makes them exceedingly rare, especially in good condition.
And also an oddity, I imagine.
Yes. For comparison, an 18th century nutmeg grater made of brass, with a double compartment hinged pocket, a circular compartment to house the nutmeg, and a long hinged rasp to grate the nutmeg, engraved with scrollwork, commands a price of £225, so closer to your original estimate.
Okay.
But I'm guessing that's because it's made of brass and also more beat up than the previous example.
Yeah.
On account of being used every day.
But I could reasonably budget for that one.
I mean, reasonably is a strong word.
Well, budget, like, I mean, if I save up for like 6 months.
6 months.
I have a decent job.
6 years.
I don't think it's going to take me 6 years to save up $200.
Some of the hosts of this podcast might be better at budgeting than other hosts of the podcast.
I didn't say I was gonna do it. I'm just like, I didn't say other areas of my life wouldn't suffer for it.
Certain,
but it would be possible.
Certain hosts of this podcast sitting to the left of the microphone might be better at budgeting than certain hosts of this podcast sitting to the right of the microphone and holding the notes.
Certain hosts of this podcast might be better at orienting the directions as well. Because I don't know which one of us you're talking about anymore.
I'm the one holding the notes.
Oh, well, that one. I missed that one. I got all caught up trying to figure out which way was left and right.
You enter a room. There is a nutmeg grater on the floor. Obvious exits are north and west.
And Dennis.
Offer nutmeg to Dennis.
He accepts graciously.
But yes, so... get yourself a pocket nutmeg grater today and become the talk of the town.
You just told me that it was difficult for me to budget it.
Listen. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, I am very single. I need nutmeg
exactly,
on the go.
Exactly. I need pocket nutmeg. It's the only thing that will give me an edge in
and
this.
And give your mulled wine an edge. Listen, it's competitive out there.
We've got weeks until Valentine's Day. We all need nutmeg now.
I'm picturing the nutmeg also as a way to override other flexes. Like a man is just like, hey, check out my fancy watch. And you just flick a nutmeg on his watch. Just like, oh, your watch doesn't seem so cool anymore.
Actually, I've made it much fancier.
I seem to have broken it with my nutmeg. The guy, or like, oh, like a guy, like a guy at the restaurant, he orders like a, like an incredibly expensive wine, and you're just like, what if your pristine wine had nutmeg in it, and then you're just flexing on flexes. Fancy car, nutmeg in it.
Or what if I go on a date and a guy starts trying to explain Dune to me? I'm like, bitch, you think I don't know spice? Nutmeg.
Nutmeg. Nutmeg. I control Meg. The spice. I control the conversation about Dune.
Sources for this episode include...
That was delightful. I'd never heard of this before, by the way.
Neither had I until I foolishly tried to read David Copperfield in preparation for the film starring Dev Patel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's the only good part about that.
There are a lot of other good actors in it.
You're right.
And also, the costuming looks beautiful. It seems like a really colorful, humorous take on Dickens, which is appropriate because Dickens was a very colorful person, and his writing was full of humor. So finally, someone's figured that out and have stopped putting a sepia filter over everything.
I knew if I dunked on it a little bit, I would get you to do that.
Listen, I'm very excited for this film. Sources for this episode include JournalOfAntiques.com's article, The Nutmeg Grater, A Kitchen Collectible, and so much more. Oh, how right they are.
They are so correct.
SydneyLivingMuseums.com.au had the article, Cloaked in Mystery, Nutmeg and Mace.
Oh, the spice mace.
Yes.
Right.
AntiqueTrader.com, Nutmeg has a spicy past. Graters are also valuable collectibles.
Well, you know, it's not the punchiest title, but I appreciate the effort.
And 2nerdyhistorygirls.blogspot.com had the article, Nutmeg, My Lord, by Susan Holloway Scott.
Now I know, well, now that... That just drips with overtone. What kind? Make your own choice.
The Victoria and Albert Museum has several beautiful nutmeg examples. As does nutmeggraters.com.
And there it is! There it is! Woo! Got it!
They have beautiful galleries full of lovely examples of pocket nutmeg graters in all shapes, sizes, and varietals. And they also have a guide to spotting fakes, because fake pocket nutmeg graters are a big thing, in the sense that they are real unmarked nutmeg graters that are then engraved with the names of notable makers.
That's interesting.
Yes. They have so much information about it at nutmeggraters.com.
Fascinating. I was about to say, like, are you telling me that people make fakes of an antique I'd never heard before?
Uh-huh.
But the circumstances are a little different than the mass production kind of thing.
And also... The Personal History, Adventures, Experience, and Observation of David Copperfield the Younger of Blunderstone Rookery, which he never meant to publish on any account, by Charles Dickens.
Is that actually the title?
That is the full title.
Did he sneak in, I wish I hadn't wrote this book, into the title?
Well, he's maintaining the fiction of it being an authentic first-person narrative.
Right.
Because people weren't comfortable with the idea of fiction quite yet. And also, Wikipedia.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Donate, won't you? Thank you.
Please do.
If you have ideas for homoerotic nutmeg tales, email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
Or spicy ideas on how to use nutmeg in your flirting. Or recipes. I won't judge.
Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks and join our group Antiques Freaks Friends.
You can discuss all of the things you do with nutmeg, unless it's especially raunchy, at which point please keep it to yourself.
If you would like to purchase vintage goods or t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them, you can check out our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks. We do not have pocket nutmeg graters, but we do have...
Old nutmeg. That's been in my pantry for a year.
We don't have that.
We don't have that. Books. Mostly it's books. And razors soon to come.
Polly Pocket?
And Polly Pocket. She's on her way.
Vintage Polly Pocket.
She put on her backpack. She's walking on over.
The good shit.
That good shit. I got a lot of decorative books coming in with really nice covers.
Ooh.
So if you are the bookshelf dressing type, actually, if you're in, if you want to email us, let me know if you'd be interested in sets of similarly colored books for decorative purposes.
Ooh.
Also, a pretty rare copy of Tannhauser by Wagner that I scored, but it's beautiful and I'm really excited to offer it up.
Excellent. If you enjoy what you've heard today about nutmeg and its homoerotic possibilities.
And I know you did, don't lie.
Consider leaving a review in the podcast app that you are using to listen to this podcast.
You can leave a review by sprinkling nutmeg liberally on your computer. You can't do it. Don't do it. If you leave a review, I suggest the 5-star variety. I find that to be the spiciest and most delicious. But, in truth, any review helps.
Our most recent review is titled, A Rare Mixture of Respect and Irreverence.
Wow. High praise.
The antiques freaks possess a rare mixture of respect for historical relics and irreverent humor that feels unique and special within the realm of podcasting.
Aw, shoot, that's really nice.
I have self-esteem again.
Yeah, I do too, actually.
Thank you. That's really sweet.
Oh, thank you. Oh, man.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, including us figuring out how to use our new microphones, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/shop/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
It is like a loot box, but without garbage in it.
Just postcard.
And one postcard instead.
Yes. Thank you to our patrons for paying our hosting fees, enabling us to purchase these new microphones, and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
And maybe buying us really big blankets to put on our heads. I will not qualify that statement. Thank you.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Goodbye.
Bye.